Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here, and I'm glad that you're with us today. Joining me in the studio there in Laguna Beach, California, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello, Jill.
Hello, Steve.
Jill is you. Well, thank you. Good to see you. Well, I'm here. Yes. Trust me. It is really me, not the stunt Steve that I send in to do the program quite often.
Stunt double.
Yeah. Jill is the author of Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, The Secrets Women Keep, The Secrets Young Women Keep, and that other voice, Mylon Yurkovich. Hey, Mylon, how are you?
It is I. Hello. It's good to hear your voice as well, Steve. Good to be
Thank
with you.
Thank you. Thank you, and I want to, right up front, be sure people know that it is tomorrow that we start Every Man's Battle, and we would love for you. It's not too late. You probably still get in, and what a great thing to say to your wife. Okay, I was listening to this program. I didn't know, but they have a thing for sexual integrity, and I don't have sexual integrity. I'm going where they can help me with it. You go, and everything is different. And then next weekend, Mylon, Dave, myself, their wives, we're all there for the marriage weekend. And that marriage solution weekend, right alongside Healing is a Choice. But listen to what Lori says about the marriage weekend. Before coming to this weekend, we had hit a stuck point in our marriage. I was not connecting emotionally with my husband. We were living like housemates. Well, the weekend was tough, but the material provided on connection and restoring connection put new light on our issues. The explanation of attachment style was eye-opening, and the group sessions with other wives who were experiencing the same feelings and emotions were invaluable. It took up to the last group session for me to get there, but I'm leaving the weekend with hope, renewed strength, and understanding. Now, that can happen for you, too. You know, what you do after you leave there, that's up to you. It's our job to get you to a place where you see things you didn't see before, and I don't know of anything more effective than that. And so you can talk about getting better, but go do something about it. I think you will be shocked at how good things can get.
That's my favorite part about the weekend. People come in.
People are shocked?
Yes, positively shocked. People walk in on Friday night, Friday afternoon, they got their arms crossed, their legs crossed, they got scowls and frowns on their face. Mm-hmm. They're just going, what are you going to tell me? You know, come on, what are you going to tell me?
One spouse is
eager, one is not.
Or there's this hesitation or this doubt and this fear, and they're investing so much. And then on Sunday morning, it's just so wonderful to see the whole climate change. And people
I know. We always say this, but it is so true.
It's so true. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it happens at Lose It for Life or anything we do. Some people, maybe a lot of people, go with the idea of, I am here to prove that you have nothing new to say to me. Mm-hmm. You have nothing that you can do. I've done everything. I am helpless, hopeless. And then we just get excited about that because we're not doing it anyway. We don't have anything new to say. But the Holy Spirit comes in, and through the power of the truth and then connection and guidance with those counselors that come in from all over, unlike other workshops, oh my goodness.
And
change
humor.
Happens.
And humor.
A lot of humor. We have that. Unlike our program, our humor there is really good. All right, so come and join us. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you. We want to be there for you in any way we can. You will be shocked at the outcome. All right, hold on. We're going to go to the phones right after this. Cheryl's going to be up first from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we're glad that she's on the line. But you could help us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, I want to join Club New Life. I'm ready to spend $30 a month, $1 a day, less than $1 a day, actually, on many months. And I want to support these folks so they're doing what they love to do. And if you're watching on television, please support us on that place where you're watching us right now. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, I'm a TV watcher. I want you to be there for me. We'll be back.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out.
I, coming here, was an empty shell.
I don't want people to think that you have to be just desperate to come. It's for people who don't know what to do next.
To open up to 8 different strangers was actually a relief. And so much got off my shoulders. And I feel so much lighter now. And I feel so much better. And I feel like I can give so much more to other people. And I don't feel ashamed. And I don't feel like I'm damaged goods.
I have learned that asking for help and being vulnerable can be safe.
The Healing is a Choice weekend is coming up April 17th through the 19th in San Jose. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I leave here with hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. Glad you're with us. Let's go to Cheryl, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Cheryl. Welcome to New Life. How are you?
Hello. I'm good, thank you. I'd like to first give a testimony that my husband and I are six years post-EMB in the marriage weekend, and just a testimony to that really works if you're willing to put in the work.
Wonderful.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. And I'll get to my question, which is I have a question about my son's relationship with a friend. He is almost 17. This girl who he is friends with but has more feelings for her than just friends I know has had abusive behaviors such as cutting in the past. Because of bullying, she has since been removed from that, but that happened for about, continued to happen for about 4 or 5 years in a school. My question is, how should I advise him to pursue, not to pursue, or continue this relationship? Because she leans on him for support with prayer and also, you know, kind of for him to provide her with godly wisdom and Bible verses to help her through these things. And when I know that they both want to be more than friends, but as a family rule, they have to be friends for a while before I would let that develop into anything more.
I have an answer for you. It's one word. It's a personal pronoun, and it is the personal pronoun you. Your question was, how do I advise him? And I would advise him that you can help him. And the way you would help him is that you would become part of her life, that you would invite her to dinner with the family. You might even invite her to maybe go to breakfast, lunch, or dinner with you sometimes. But you develop a relationship with her and put into her life and become something to her that could have an impact on her. Now, it might be rejection, might not work, whatever. But it just seems like to me that's your best hope, is you investing in her alongside of him rather than just hoping things go well or get better or that he walks away. Let's hear from Jill and Mylon, though, what their perspectives might be.
Well, this may sound like a bit of a shock, Cheryl, but it's difficult to command people not to fall in love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. That is true.
You know?
Or to allow or not allow them.
To allow or not allow.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the battle. And this is the piece that you don't want to get into the middle of all of this. I appreciate your caution. But, you know, when I met my wife, who's, we've been married 43 years, we'll be married 43 years this June, she was 17. Mm-hmm. I was 19. And so, there could very well be a strong love element taking place here, and then they're having to spiritualize it and put words on it. Well, just pray for me and support me and give me Bible verses, and that may comfort you, but underneath, you just said, they probably want to have more. And so I would say what Steve said is very important, coming alongside of them and loving them and helping them. This girl's been victimized. She's been hurt. She has a lot of pain. Cutting is a way that pain is relieved. It's a way of self-medicating. And so for her to learn alternate ways, and then for your son to find out how safe a person is before I invest into them. But the 17-year-old mind is the most impulsive stage of their life. They don't know how to control the brakes and the throttles. But so it's a very heavy tension there. But I think what Steve said is very important, and I would do everything I could to not be too heavy-handed, but to be involved with them in a way they know they're loved.
Okay.
What would you say, Jill?
Well, I agree with you guys. And I think, you know, your best assurance is in drawing her close.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you earn some credibility, I think, with your son. Because, I mean, you know, just from looking from the outside in, he's being a very caring person and mm-hmm. a very mm-hmm. caring friend. Now, maybe he has a need to rescue, need to be needed. But, you know, he also is very kind, and so you've raised a kind son. I would get him talking about this relationship and what he likes about her. How does he feel in the relationship? How does it feel that she depends on him? And get him to be able to look at it from different angles instead of you kind of deciding, is this good or not good? Do we need to move away from this or not? Instead of it being more of parental permission, it's more of helping him to think it through for himself.
Okay, and we kind of did that. I did have him sit down and write down qualities that he would have to have in a mate. And, you know, what if she has those qualities, and then
Let me interrupt you for a second, because that's still like, okay, we're deciding whether this is going to work or not.
That's heavy-handed.
I'm talking about ongoing dialogue, that you create space and freedom for him to explore his own thoughts without the fear of you taking them away from him. Does that make sense?
It does, but it also seems like I'm opening the door to something that, or a situation that he might not be able to handle. And that's not something I want to allow him to get into.
The door is just that we're going to talk about it. The door is, I just want to know what's going on inside of you, because it's going on inside of him anyway. You can't dictate what he thinks about or doesn't think about. Yes, you can set some parameters and guidelines, and I agree with that. But I'm just talking about helping him to explore and creating the freedom to be able to talk out loud with you.
Cheryl,
yeah, and I appreciate that.
Cheryl, where's Dad in all this?
Oh, he's very much in the loop with everything, and my son is very open to conversation, and I have invited them over. I have invited her over to dinner, and just but there has been some information that my son has found out that she was sexually active, seeking attention, and, you know, that was very devastating to him because, you know, in his mind, you know, he didn't want to like somebody that much who had what he would say would be damaged or, you know, have baggage.
Well, everybody's mm-hmm. damaged and has baggage. Everybody.
That's true.
Everybody. But the issue is, can we selectively choose who has the least amount or who is the healthiest or who is working on what their baggage is? And I think that's important for him to understand. It's not an either or. See, that's part of these dialogues Jill is encouraging you to have. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be perfect. And if your son thinks, well, I have to have somebody without any baggage, that's just not going to happen. We live in a broken world.
Well,
everybody's broken.
Well, I would hope that at the age of 14 and 15, you know, there would be somebody out there who was still pure sexually.
Well, I would hope that too. Mm-hmm. But maybe one of the things you're going to have to do is do some research on the current statistics of how many people are struggling as children and adolescents in pornography and what the world is shoving down their throats and what they're exposed to.
Okay, but yes.
And, I'm
but
just saying.
That is true. And I do, Cheryl, hear what you're saying, and that may not be what you want your son to choose.
And I would agree.
Right. Yeah. But to be aware of that, and I think, you know, what your son was talking about in opening up, that's a good thing that he can do that with the two of you. And that's important. And it's harder to sit with feelings when we are fearful. I think your son is similar to you in some ways, and so you may need to trust that he's not going to just leap into something because he is running things by you. So allowing you all to sit with this and not have to just chop it off and just decide.
Yeah.
I think that's the important thing, because that's how he's going to grow and know what he wants and what he thinks.
I love that Cheryl and her husband are involved here.
Yes.
Yep.
And talking and dialoguing is just how to balance out the child's thoughts or the adolescent's mm-hmm. thoughts and balance ours out, because they get
right.
commingled.
They do.
And it's a challenging place to be. I would get some help here. I would make, mm-hmm. I would try and find a good counselor that could help the family navigate that.
Okay.
Cheryl.
And, it's been a good lesson with God's expression of grace, because, God can forgive any kind of sin. So
sure.
for him, that's been good to walk that out.
Sure.
And understand that no matter how much you screw up,
Cheryl,
it doesn't turn you away.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Cheryl.
Sure, go ahead.
Has anything we've said been helpful? And if so, what has been the most helpful thing you've heard that might cause you guys to do something different?
Well, I feel that we have had an open dialogue. So I think the most helpful thing I heard was probably to allow him to make mistakes in a safe environment.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Good.
But okay. I think that's what you're saying, that just to create that environment with him, knowing that he'll still come to me and talk, but
yeah.
Be able to fix it if it needs fixed and trust
yeah.
him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, let me send you a copy of How We Love, which I think is an amazing book that helps everybody understand life and relationships just a whole lot better. And I'm going to get that to you. Anybody else, it's available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Mary from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hello, Mary. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
What can we do for you today?
Well, let me step away from my six-year-old, because this is a conversation I need to have in front of him.
Okay.
There's probably no easy way to explain it, but just to come right out and say that my 25-year-old son is going to be proposing to his girlfriend after 3-4 years, and yes, they do live together. I do not condone that. Also, the problem is, which I have no problem with her, she's going to be, seems like a great wife, except for not too long ago, she was under the influence, and she had told my daughter about a sexual relation that she had one time with her best friend, and my son is unaware of that. So, of course, as a mother, I want him to go into marriage completely with all honesty and everything, no secrets. After 25 years of marriage myself, that is something I believe should be taken care of. What role do I have in this as far as her knowing, to her, him knowing? Because she'd be devastated if she even knew I knew about this. Mm-hmm. Or should his sister tell him? Or should we talk to the girl and give her, not me, but my daughter, talk to the girl and give her the chance to talk to him about it?
Well,
or do the famous sweep it under the carpet.
No. I really think that it is known. I think the best thing would be for daughter to go to her and say, I want to talk to you about this. I'm not wanting to shame you or whatever, but I know about this, and I just want to get it out in the open, and I want you to talk to me about it.
Well, she did talk to her about it. She's the one that told her. She
uh-huh.
didn't seem to.
But I mean, from the perspective of, but talk to her about it from the perspective of, you need to tell him this.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought too. I thought
yeah.
she should talk to her.
Well, let's hear what Jill and Mylan think.
No,
yeah, let's hear what they think first.
Well, I agree with that. I think whoever she told, which was your daughter, I think she, if she's willing to go back to her and express that she really thinks her brother needs to know this before marriage or before they get more serious. And that, and to talk about the idea that, no one should continue into a relationship that may lead to marriage with there being secrets.
Right. Okay.
Right.
You're giving me affirmation on that, because that is what I had been praying about this, and my thought was to my daughter, she confided in you. Otherwise, it's secondhand information. And because she told you, you can say, you told me something that's been disturbing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And am I to understand that this was a sexual relationship with a friend of the same sex?
Yes. And the sad thing is, it's acceptable in her family as far as that, because she has a sister that's getting married, and it's not of someone of the opposite sex.
Okay, so really then what you have is you have a challenging situation here. Not only is there a sexual indiscretion that took place, but it also took place with someone of the same sex. And you never know how strong that propensity is in another person. And I think, how long ago was that? And, you know, is that something that she hid from your son? And those seem to be mm-hmm. violations to a marriage covenant. And
okay.
what will be done?
Those are the issues.
What could this happen after we're married?
If
you drink too much or you get a little mm-hmm. bored here, what could happen? So that needs to be really worked through.
Okay.
And so you're hoping for the best, and you tell your daughter, the best thing is she says, you know, I'm going to talk to him about this. But if not, mm-hmm. then you've got a whole other issue there. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Radio. We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And, you know, just briefly, before we move on to the next caller, my thought is that if the daughter says to the fiancé what she needs to say, and then there is no movement toward revealing that to her brother, then she needs to come back to mom and dad, and I think there needs to be a discussion with the son, with the three of them, to say, okay, here's what happened, and she went back to her, like, you know, and that mm-hmm. was really great, but she doesn't want you to know, and that's really troubling, because, you know, that,
or she doesn't think it's a big deal, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Right. It's
either
not
way.
Worth mentioning.
Or right. What does she do when she drinks too much?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Right. What indiscretions can occur? And is this who you want to marry? Somebody with a history like this who might. All this history matters, because
yeah.
if this happens before mm-hmm. marriage, it could also happen after marriage, and that's why we right. want to take a look at it. So, at the risk of the messenger being shot, I think mm-hmm. I like what Mary said was, I'm going to have my daughter, because she's the one who told her, to keep it inside that lane. I think it's a very good idea. But then
a place to start.
Yeah. And Steve, I would agree with you. I think if she doesn't do it, the sister has to decide, am I going to tell my brother what she
better.
Told me? Yeah.
It's your brother.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you want to know?
Oh, my goodness.
Wouldn't you want to know what you're marrying into?
I would be very upset with my family, you know, 5 years later if
really?
They never told me and told me there's a landmine out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right.
Let's go to Katie, Dallas, Texas. Katie, how are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Great. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you. I'm going to try to keep it really short because it's really long.
Good luck.
Okay, I'm 38 years old, and I feel like I've ruined my entire life up until now, and I've lost everything that's important to me, and I'm starting over, and I'm scared to death, and I've got a major anxiety problem that's debilitating, and it's making it hard for me to work, and it's making me hard. It's making it hard just to sleep at night and get through each day. And
okay, what have you lost? Tell us what you've lost.
Okay, well, when I was 21, I was given a trust fund of $3 million, and I was very. I was raised to not really learn how to save money, or it was just a free-for-all. And so I didn't know how to save money. I just knew how to spend it. And so I spent it, and then a large part of it got embezzled. I also invested in some retail stores when I was married, my second marriage, that did not work. They failed, and so I lost money that way, too. And so I've lost everything, and now I'm on welfare. And I can't provide for my children, and so they went to go live with their dad, who is very well off. And that's devastating to me. I can barely stand it. I ended up having to move. Okay.
All right, so the question for us is, in the midst of loss, humiliation, you feel like, and you got this anxiety thing going. What's the question for us?
My question is, I've been to a doctor for my anxiety. I pray for my anxiety, but I don't feel like God is helping me at all. And I'm so desperate for help because I can't work. I can't get my kids back.
All right. What are you doing about the anxiety other than praying?
I go see a doctor and I'm on medication.
Okay. So you go to see the doctor, and he provides medication, and you get the symptoms of the anxiety, maybe
muffled.
the edge taken off, that kind of thing. But that's not really going to help the source, right? I mean, you know that.
Right. Okay. I feel no security in my life whatsoever, and I think that's the major problem is I don't feel, you know, I'm unmarried. I don't have any money. I feel no security, and I know... And I don't know what to do about it.
All right. Well, Mylon, you and I both have kind of been in places of tremendous insecurity, and it's an anxiety. It's not a fun place to be. So let's help her. I mean, Katie, to me, the first thing is that you have to say, I'm going to get some help beyond medication and prayer.
Right. Yeah, I'm wondering who you're talking to. Who's helping walk you through this? Because, Katie, it sounds like the way you were raised, there were no boundaries, and money was your false sense of security.
It was.
Right? And people get a high from having money, and you can just buy your way through life.
So exactly.
Now you're coming up, and you don't have the skills. And,
right.
Right? And so it is really scary. But when we are most desperate, that's where, first of all, God can meet us, but then he wants us to have people in our lives to walk beside us, and that's where you need a good counselor, a good support group, some people that can come alongside you and teach you what's real and not realistic in terms of how to live life.
Right.
Right?
But I can't afford a counselor right now.
But you can afford to go to church because it's free. And you can afford to go to support groups because they're free.
Okay.
And sometimes churches have lay counseling, or sometimes churches help with counseling.
celebrate recovery.
Right, but I've known churches who have paid for counseling. Sure. They have paid for people to come to me before. So,
sure.
So you start where you can. You start with what you can afford, right? Because we all have to live within some limits. And that's part of the training that you need, is learning how to do that.
All right, we'll be right back.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Talking to Katie. A lot of loss, a lot of anxiety. Mylon, your thoughts for Katie.
Katie, I started my life over at 38 years old. Katie?
Did we lose her?
You there?
Well, she... okay, the line is there, but she's not.
So I started my life over at 38 years old. I came to a screeching halt, realizing that everything I had founded my life upon wasn't working, mm-hmm. and I was able to recognize there were holes that I didn't even know were there. And I would say to Katie that, you know, the fact that somebody handed you $3 million at 21 years old and you didn't know what to do with it, that's not your fault that you reached 21 years old and you didn't know what to do with your life, because you didn't train you. You didn't raise you. A family system raised you up with these holes, these places of weakness, these places of lack of development, just like me. And what I had to do is own the fact that I wasn't grown up at 37 years old and had to embark upon a journey of growing up on the inside. So I pulled around me a lot of people that could really help, and which is what you're suggesting here. Find a church where people can help us. So it goes from something's really wrong with me to it looks this way. I didn't create this in me, but I'm going to be responsible to live the second half of my life as a responsible adult, even though I didn't create a lot of the problems that I found myself in. Because I didn't raise me, and I think it comes down to the what's my fault, and then what's my responsibility to grow out of. Mm-hmm. If you're too hard on yourself, realizing I came from a home where I didn't appreciate what this money was, then we can really beat ourselves up too much. And I think to give yourself grace and say, look, now I am going to choose to be responsible, and I'm going to ask God's help for that. I mean, I'd go to a Dave Ramsey course. I would find a church where there's support. I would get into a counseling where somebody could help me go back and look at those deep bonding issues, the lack of development, the places where I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm. So different areas of her life, getting help. You know, you mentioned Dave Ramsey.
Yep.
Getting some financial training. Mm-hmm. Lots of churches offer courses that you can.
Changes at Heal changed my life at 37 mm-hmm. years old. I realized I didn't know how to bond well. I didn't have any boundaries. I didn't know how to integrate good and bad. And I did not know how to grow up as an adult and mm-hmm. step into different roles of over and under and side by side.
Well, you know, I just want to say.
Since you asked, Steve.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I was where she was.
Yeah.
And everything that you're saying is absolutely true. And the other day, my pastor said, would you preach a sermon kind of on something that consistently has characterized things in your life? And I said, okay, this is going to be really deep. It's really rich. It's really, really theological. And it's never stop dancing. And he said, okay, well, that's really what we were looking for. But it really is true. You know, I reached a point about 12 years ago. I thought it was over for me. You know, everything was done, everything, and just not true. And you just must allow God to continue to work with you, teach you new dance steps, find new dance partners, all those kinds of things. But don't give up and stop dancing like there's no hope, there's no music, there's no beat for you to follow, no melody for you to enjoy. It's there. It's not going to be easy to discover it again, but it's there for all of us.
Right. And Steve, you know, you're speaking to the fact that lots of people reach a time of a crossroad in their lives and have to reinvent themselves. And so, you know, for Katie, as long as it stays really vague, that's where the anxiety comes in. To start to develop a plan, and we've talked about different things that she can start to contact people. And with each step she takes, a plan starts developing, and that will calm her anxiety. But she's going to have to sit with feeling really uncomfortable because nobody's going to come and just erase it all.
Okay.
Right?
I hope that's helpful. It's absolutely right. All right. So what could we do for her? I mean, we can – I'm going to send her Healing as a Choice. I wish she could come to Healing as a Choice. That would be powerful. I'll give her a subscription to tv.newlife.com.
That would be good.
Yeah. Anybody else, I mean, that can change your life. And really, sorry for what she's going through, but, man, I'm telling you, God strips away the stuff that we don't need, and all of a sudden we start building on the things that we do. All right, let's go to Melissa, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Melissa, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing okay.
What's going on?
I had a question. My 17-year-old son is addicted to porn. I'm pretty sure that he has all the signs, and I've been doing lots of research and looking. And so this has been going on for about 3 years. So I would just, and we've tried a few different things, and I see a lot of resources for grown men and women, but not a lot for teens and not a lot of support groups, I don't feel, for teens. Maybe I just don't know what they are. But I just wanted to get to see if you have any information that might could help me. I want to help him. I want to help him conquer this before he leaves.
Sure.
Because I know all the stories. I don't want him to say, you know, his marriage and to bring this into his marriage. So
right.
I'd like to help him get over this before he leaves, if possible. Mm-hmm. Before he's 18, when I say before he leaves, before he's out of my house.
Right.
I just feel responsible, and I feel like we need to get this taken care of.
Well, it's great, and, you know, here's the thing. I deal with parents all the time. They're so sad that something happens, and they're able to see that this perfect or near-perfect 16-year-old all of a sudden gets in trouble. And I say to them, what a blessing that if they're going to rebel or if they're trapped in something or they get caught up in something, that it's happening now, not at age 20, when you have very, very little influence. Well, Mylon, you know, you've raised one of these. You raised several kids past this age. What do you say would be the best path for her?
Well, what's troubling is she says, I have a 17-year-old who's been addicted to porn for 3 years, and I want to mm-hmm. do something. That's troubling to me because that means that somehow nothing's been done for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I would disconnect all the internet. I would take away every computer from the house, even to my own dismay. I would disconnect every phone. I would take away every possible resource. And it would be a completely sterile house. if I really want to help him, I have to force his hand. I have to say there has to be something I'm going to do as a parent to slow this train down, because her son won't slow the train down.
Unless, does he want help? Do you talk to him about
yeah,
it?
But at least at our house, we're not going to provide a place for that to happen.
Right.
And that sounds crazy.
Well, it's the same as not providing drugs, right?
There you go.
A parallel to this. One of the boys had a female over, and you know, I could have gone upstairs, closed the door to my bedroom, but instead I said, you know what? I'm going to do him a favor. I'm going to be the excuse for nothing happening here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be on the same floor that they're on. I'm going to leave my door open. They're going to suspect that I can hear everything that's going on. And now I've eliminated a possibility. I've really done him a favor. And that's what you're saying, Milo. I mean, to have all this stuff available and then say, hey, go do your best in our den of potential temptation, I don't think that's helpful. I like what you're saying.
I heard a story last week of a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old brother who were all of a sudden all their behavior changed. They weren't sleeping. They weren't eating. They were troubled. They were getting poor grades. They were in nightmares. And this 9-year-old on his dad's iPad or whatever had found pornography somehow, because the kids are talking about it at school. And they'd been looking at pornography every night until they fell asleep for 30 days before their parents even found out about it.
Now, there you go.
And so, unfortunately, these are very common stories and are becoming more and more and more common, sadly. And mm-hmm. what are we going to do? How bold are we going to be as parents? Well, I can't disconnect my TV. Well, yes, you can. And then, Steve, I know of stories where 17-year-olds have gone with their dad to every man battle.
Well, that's what I was wondering about. Where is dad in this?
Yeah, where's dad? And to get to every man's battle with their dad, Steve, would that work? Can they do that?
Sometimes it actually does. So where is dad in this, Melissa?
Well, he's here. And so his dad is in the home. We've been married for a long time, but he does not have a good relationship with his dad. His dad, he comes to me with his struggles, and so I'm the one that's talked to him about this. His dad has never confronted him about it, and he's never gone to talk to his dad about it.
And so, do you see that is a big part of the problem and needs to be a big part of the solution?
Yes, but I feel that's a part that I've tried to work on for many years, and I don't have any control over that. I cannot force my husband to have a relationship with my son. I feel like I have my hands tied.
So can you ask him to help you in the parenting, and maybe the two of you together?
I have asked him for a long time, yes.
Okay.
Then what's Melissa going to stand for?
Yeah.
All by herself, what is Melissa going to stand for? What? Where is she going to draw a line in the sand and say no more husband, no more son?
I think it needs to be right here. When we come back, I want to find out, what's the dad's excuse? It's baffling to me. We'll be back after this.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to San Jose April 17th through the 19th.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now, and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Artiburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Tomorrow, every man's battle, and you as a man, you go, you get it taken care of, and you impact a younger person just like this. So, Melissa, what is the father's excuse about, I don't have a relationship with my 17-year-old son, or forever, however long he hasn't wanted to have one? What's that all about?
Well, they have a relationship. It's just my husband likes things very orderly. Okay, I will say that my son stands out from the rest of the family. He's kind of more free-spirited, you know, messy. The rest of us, my husband's an engineer, I'm a mathematician, we're very organized and have everything in order. So I've kind of learned just to lay back a little bit and say, okay, I can deal a little bit with the messy room. And you know, my husband gets very distraught because he borrows his tools. He doesn't put them back in the right place. He may leave them out in the rain. It's just, so I think my husband has a lot of, he's just angry, I think, at my son. And then also, I'm angry at my husband because I feel like he's not stepping up, and it's very frustrating to me. And I've prayed, and we've gone to counseling. We've been through all that, and nothing's changing. So he says he loves him. He says, I do love him, although my
Well, you know what, though? I mean, when he goes...
I don't think he loves him either.
When he goes to... When he goes to...
He does. Yeah. He says that he does.
When he goes to heaven...
He's going to help, but he just never steps up.
When he goes to heaven and he stands before the Lord, I don't think he's going to be saying to God, hey, I was an engineer, and I really liked things orderly, and so I disengaged from my son because that didn't fit my engineer personality. I mean, I think your big thing here next is to challenge him to step up and be the man God's called him to be.
Well, don't you think? How to do that? What that looks like?
So I have a recommendation. National Geographic, October 2011. National Geographic, October 2011,
all right.
Is on the teenage brain. And your husband, as an engineer, will like the description of the neurocircuitry of the child's brain as it moves into adolescence and adulthood. It'll give him something cognitive to understand about how your son is at the peak of impulsivity, and it'll give him some concrete scientific evidence to say why his son is irresponsible and leaves tools in the rain, and he's going through a major reconstruction process in his head. And so it may give him a little bit more empathy for the struggle his son is going through. That would just be one thing you could do to help reach your husband, to help him understand your son.
Because otherwise the message is, unless you are like an engineer and have an engineer's brain, you're unacceptable.
Yeah, the adult engineer who has everything organized. You can't be a 17-year-old here.
So he's really not tolerant of anything that's different than him.
Right.
And understandable, it makes his world chaotic.
Yeah.
But, Melissa, your son may be a very creative type in addition to that.
Right?
Well, okay. And bottom line is, when you decide to get married and have children, you are signing up for major inconveniences throughout your life. And that doesn't end. So I think the issue here first is you and the husband and you getting on the same page. Okay, I get it that you kind of backed away, but now we've got a son he's in trouble. Now you step up. All right. We'll try to find a great, great counselor for you in the area. There are a lot around where you live. I hope that we can help you. And maybe the husband and the son could get to every man's battle. That would be,
you know,
pretty
what, Steve,
cool.
Something we don't do very often, but I think it's a great idea, which is to have her husband listen to this show.
Right. That would mm-hmm. be good, because
just to actually hear the struggle and to hear our reactions, to hear what we say, and for him to have another intervention besides Melissa's voice.
Right.
Because you can replay this show and listen to it.
And if he does, then I would say, well, if we were talking to him, we'd be nicer, you know. I mean, we'd be encouraging and everything.
Now,
versus
Steve softening it? Is that what you're doing? No.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if he does listen, we were responding to her. And it is a little shocking what was said there. So I just would want him to know that we love him and care about him, and he's doing the best he can, but now it's time to do more.
And a 17-year-old. Addicted pornography for the last 3 years is also a shocking thing to hear.
It's very, yeah. very shocking. All right. Hope and pray that something we've said is helpful to you. And I hope and pray that one of these workshops that we're doing, you could come and join us. I'm hoping that one of maybe a session that you might view on tv.newlife.com might change your life or the life that somebody you love, or that you'd call us a counselor. You know, some of our greatest support comes from people. All we did was find a counselor in their area that could meet their needs, and we want to do that for you. Also, boy, do we ever need your support. Joining Club New Life will send you a Bible of your choice. Now, you know, we could send you the Spiritual Renewal Bible, which was Bible of the Year a few years back, or Every Man's Bible, which was just nominated for Bible of the Year in 2014, or it's up for that for now, 2015, Bible of the Year, or Life Recovery Bible, which was the best-selling study Bible in March, and the best-selling, the fourth best-selling study Bible in, actually the fourth best-selling Bible of any type in 2014. So we've been blessed with God using these Bibles to change people's lives. You support us through Club New Life. We'll send you one of those, one of that you choose. Also, a gift of any type, we'll send you the transcript. It's about a 16-page little booklet we put together on the narcissistic victim syndrome by Dr. Sherry Kefford. We'll give that to you as our way of saying thank you. But we really need your help. One-time gift, Club New Life. And then also tell people when you run into them with these impossible situations that we've designed some kind of weekend experiences for impossible situations. And there are intensive weekends, and we'd love to see you there. All of that is available at newlife.com or by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can help us at that number or website. We can help you at that number or website. The things we have coming up: tomorrow, Every Man's Battle. Next weekend, the Marriage Solution Weekend, and Healing is a Choice. We've talked about Marriage Solution, but Healing is a Choice. So powerful. People not waiting for God to do what God's been waiting for them to do. Taking action and doing something, really acting on their desire for a better life. And then on the 24th, I'm at the First Women of Faith Conference in Billings, Montana. I would love for you to come and be part of that and say hello, come by the table, whatever. We'd love to see you. But we love being here with you every day. And my big, huge, amazingly large thanks to Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard, because it's that kind of wisdom that people have come to appreciate. And they tell me, hey, don't ever do this by yourself. And keep those people on there. And we're so fortunate to have them and John Townsend, Henry Cloud, and Dr. Sherry Keffer, along with Dr. Dave Stoop. And these are the people that are making a difference, and we want you to support them. And their resources are at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's amazing the kind of contribution that's being made in the Christian community. And we've been fighting this battle for credibility for so long with people saying, you know, Christian counseling, you don't need it. You just need Jesus. Or Christian recovery, you don't need it. You don't need 12 steps. You just need one step. And, you know, finally, people are saying, maybe there's something here. And we believe that there is. And if you want to find out what that is for your life, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love you. We care about you. And hope to see you next time right here on New Life Live. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.